As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Glow and Tell. I'm in such a good mood. I'm feeling so good and happy, and I hope you can feel my energy through the screen, because today we are talking a lot about energy and about auras. But before we get into that, I firstly just want to say thank you so much for all the love and support on the first episode. I was honestly really nervous to post it, because after I filmed it, I was listening back and I was editing it, and I was like, oh my god, I feel like I should have said this. Like, I just kept remembering things that I wanted to say, or like extra things I wish I would have said that I didn't remember to say while I was filming. And I got to a point where I was like, oh my god, is this even helpful? Is this information even good? I don't know. Like, but I showed it to my mom and she was like, I think it's really good. And I kind of just trusted that it would be well received, it would be helpful. I feel like I was putting a lot of pressure onto myself, because it was like the first episode. I was like, it needs to be representative of everything that this podcast is going to be. And although that's true to an extent, I also feel like I have so much information to share. I can't share every single thing in one, you know, like 30 or 40 minute episode. I have many more episodes to be able to share lots of information. So I don't know. I was just feeling a little apprehensive, but I was like, I'm just going to trust that this is going to be well received. It's going to fall into the right hands, and my message is going to come across in the way that I want it to. So I'm glad I posted it, and thank you so much if you listened to that, if you gave me a rating. I really, really appreciate you, and I'm just so excited to have started this new chapter. Honestly, I have so many ideas. I feel like it has unleashed a complete new, like, creative energy in me. I literally have so many ideas every single day. I have this huge long list of episode ideas, that things I want to talk about, and I think that can honestly be a good message. Like, if you're feeling kind of stuck, or you're maybe in a little bit of a rut, you're feeling a little bit stagnant in your life, and like you don't have anything super exciting going on at the moment, try doing something new. Literally trying something new, like, creates new neural pathways and networks in your brain. It literally is like expanding your consciousness. And seriously, I feel like every time I try something new, I get such a burst of creativity. I get so many new ideas, or I just find a new hobby that I really love. And I feel like I've been in a whole kind of phase, or I don't want to say I'm in the phase yet, but I'm like entering a phase of trying new things. I have so many new things I want to try, maybe in the next couple of months, or maybe start them in the next couple of months and then make them sort of like New Year's resolutions for 2025. But I've been thinking about like trying taking an actual workout class, and not just like working out at home, like just seeing how I feel about it, if I like it. There's like a few different workout classes I'd love to try, like doing a reformer Pilates class, maybe even doing like a Soul Cycle class. I would love to go and try a yoga class. I've actually done, I think, only like one or two before, but I don't know, I kind of want to try doing that again. Honestly, that's out of my comfort zone, even though it sounds like so simple. For me, it is kind of out of my comfort zone. And another thing I've been thinking about trying is like pottery making, like doing a pottery class. I did pottery painting with my boyfriend a few months ago, and while we were there, we saw that there was like a pottery making class going on next to it, and I was like, oh my god, that would be such a fun, cool thing to try too. Like, this could be a whole hobby. I also want to say, like, you don't have to be the best at something to do it and enjoy doing it. Like, you don't have to be the most amazing artist in the world to just like enjoy painting, or you don't have to be like the best dancer in the world to take some dance classes. You can just do something for fun. It doesn't have to be like a crazy competitive thing to unleash a little bit more creativity. That can be a great idea, because I really feel like creativity is one of our biggest gifts in humanity and just as humans, like the ability to create and just make make new things and come up with new ideas. And I feel like it always feels so good to be creative and just like get a cool new idea that's like kind of original and unique and something you've never thought of before. So that's been something that's been on my mind lately. And before we get into the episode, I'll give you just a little brief like life update if you want to hear it. And if not, you can skip ahead a little bit. But today and yesterday have actually been the first days that have really felt like, we're kind of starting to get into fall. They've been pretty chilly in like the 50s even. And that has been kind of a shock because I'm still so in summer mode. I know everyone's like already kind of getting into fall, but I really do feel like we shouldn't rush things. You know, they will come as they come. It's not time for fall yet, but it actually is going to get quite hot again next week, which I'm excited about because I just want to have one last like hurrah for summer. So this weekend, I'm actually planning to do a couple fun things. Just a weekend of doing the last summer things that I really wanted to do, like the things that were on my bucket list that I didn't get to do yet. So I'm really excited about that. I want to have like a water balloon fight, just have a whole pool party day where I'm like out at the pool all day. I make fun drinks, like fun snacks. I want to go to a drive-in movie. So I'm going to have a fun little weekend this weekend. And I'm really excited about that because it's going to be super nice weather. And I feel like it'll be a perfect start of a send-off to summer. I feel like as September comes, that's when I'm going to finally surrender to the end of summer because I feel like September really is fall time. Everyone's back to school in September and I don't know, but I really do feel like I've had a really good summer. I've had summer of just so many new things. Like this summer has brought me so many new experiences and I went to new countries, hit huge milestones in my life. I just feel so good, honestly. And I've been feeling just really excited, honestly, so excited about like everything, so excited about life. Literally, Lana Del Rey, Lust for Life. That's how I feel. So it's a great feeling. Another exciting thing is I've started to kind of plan potentially some fall trips. I love doing leaf peeping trips in the fall. My mom and I have kind of made it a tradition of doing like a different trip each fall. We've done it for like 4 years. I think we actually skipped last year though because it just didn't work out, but it's so much fun. It literally is amazing. I feel like it's such a great way to embrace fall. Like we do a little road trip and we go hiking. We go to cute little New England towns or something like that. And it's so much fun. So I've started looking into that and then also have started planning my winter ski trip with my boyfriend. We're going to a new place this year. We like to pick a new place, a new country or state to go to every year for our little winter trip. And honestly, having trips to look forward to, especially in the fall and winter months, I feel like it really helps me kind of avoid falling into terrible seasonal depression. Not that I want to like live in the future and only be thinking about those trips, but it's kind of like a nice break from dreary winter days at times. And it's like something fun and exciting to look forward to. So I truly am excited about that. I would love to hear about what's been going on in your life lately. I love like talking with you guys. So if you would like to leave a little comment about what's been going on with you, maybe something that you're excited for, something you're excited for about fall, something you want to do before summer ends, I would love to hear it. And now let's get on to the topic of today's video because I'm seriously so excited to talk about this. I feel like I have so much to say. Today we are going to be talking about auras and we're going to be talking about energy, specifically how to have a magnetic, charismatic, energetically charged, overall just amazing aura. And I guess what I mean when I say a magnetic aura, because you might literally hear me and you're like, these are just words, what are you even saying? Really, we're just talking about energy. An aura is like an energetic field that surrounds your physical body. And the aura that you have or the energy that you have is a physical manifestation of what's on the inside. It's a projection of your inner state. If you still think this sounds like a little bit of a stretch, I would first say, come into this with an open mind. And secondly, you probably realize and are astute to energy in so many more ways than you probably even realize. You can sense people's energy. We totally are able to do this as humans. Imagine when somebody walks into a room and you can immediately tell that something is off. They haven't even said anything. Maybe you haven't even like looked at them, but you just feel this like air sink over the room. It does not feel good. You don't want to be around them. You can already tell that something is wrong or something is off. Another example would be if somebody walks into a room room and you are just like captivated by them. Everybody in the room is just looking at them, listening to them. Everybody wants to be around them. Maybe you find yourself drawn to them. Like maybe you want to be their friend. Maybe it's a stranger and you don't even know them, but you're like, oh my God, there is just something about them. Like I want to keep talking to them. I want to know more. They just have this something about them that you can't quite put your finger on. Like they just have like this it factor. You literally feel like you were magnetically drawn to them. That is somebody with a magnetic aura. I feel like another example that I really think of in terms of people having energy and being energetically aware is with animals. We all know that animals can sense things. Like I feel like almost before we can, I mean, their senses are way more heightened than ours and they can tell when somebody is off, like especially dogs or cats. Like literally you'll go to an animal shelter and it'll say on a dog's cage, like this dog does not like men or something. Which of course is like a generalization, but I just mean that sometimes there are people and animals just don't want to be around them. Like cats don't like them. Maybe it's an animal that typically loves everyone and like wants to go up to everyone, but you bring over a friend or someone comes over and they are like not going near them with a 10-foot pole and you're like, ooh, maybe they don't have the best vibe about them. Like that animal can obviously sense that. One example I really think of with this is with my dog Bella. I have two dogs and one of them is very outgoing. He is so friendly. Not just friendly, but he's just not very shy. Like he is willing to go up to anyone. He will lick anyone, let anybody pet him. He will sit on anyone's lap. He's very outgoing. And my other dog, Bella, she is literally the sweetest, most pure. I absolutely love and adore her. But to anyone else, like to strangers that she meets, she's very shy. She's kind of anxious, like me. She has a huge personality. She's kind of sassy, but she's like spunky. She's super cute, super friendly. But to anybody else, like to a stranger that comes over, to someone she even has met a few times but isn't super comfortable with, she will not go anywhere near them. She will bark at them. She will keep her distance. They cannot pet her. They cannot touch her. She usually doesn't even want to go up to other dogs. She's just kind of a shy gal. But of course, to people that she knows, like to me, to my mom, my family, she's so sweet, so loving. She'll let us pet her all day, you know. But when my boyfriend and I first started dating, which was 3.5 years ago now, I brought him over to my house for the first time and I was kind of warning him. I was like, she is not gonna let you pet her. She's gonna bark at you. Just be prepared because, you know, she'll be barking. And I was telling him, like, don't make eye contact with her because when you make eye contact with a dog, that can make them feel threatened. Just like Caesar Milan, no touch, no talk, no eye contact. So we get in my house and she like maybe starts to bark at first, but she comes up to him and she actually like sniffs him and she stops barking. And I'm like, what is going on right now? And we end up going up to my room and the dogs like came upstairs and she literally like hopped on my bed and crawled on his lap. And we were absolutely shocked. Like I had never seen her do this before. I was literally appalled, like genuinely appalled. I told my mom after and I was like, she literally sat on his lap. Like she's sitting on his lap and letting him pet her. This is so unusual, especially with like a boy. And I truly think it's because my boyfriend has the sweetest, just the most kind energy ever. He literally is so pure and just so sweet. He has such a like gentle, loving, and kind energy. And I've always thought that. And I seriously feel like Bella could sense it. And she was okay with going up to him. And it never happens. It's so, so rare, like genuinely so rare and so unusual and atypical of her that I was absolutely shocked. And I feel like that's a great example of a time where like he had a great aura. And my dog could sense it. So if you're wondering like why would you even want, I guess, a magnetic aura, if you're thinking that, or like what are the benefits of having one, as I mentioned, your aura, the energy that surrounds your whole body, because we all have energy, everything has energy, it's a reflection of what's on the inside and your inner state. So if somebody has like a great aura, they have a great energy, you want to be around them, they are probably feeling pretty good on the inside. Maybe they're at peace with themselves, maybe they are unapologetically themselves, and they've really just found themselves, and then their aura and their outside state reflects that. So having this magnetic aura, which I keep saying, is good because it in turn means that you are going to be feeling good on the inside as well. And it also just makes you more pleasant to be around. It makes people want to be around you. It makes you a better friend, a better listener, a better partner in a relationship. It attracts new opportunities into your life. It can make you have better connections and better relationships. It can make you excel in social situations and be more comfortable and confident at parties and at social gatherings and at interviews. It can literally like make the interviewer want to choose you over someone else because you just have this air about you that commands attention. It allows you to make a good impression on others. And commonly when we use this phrase, this magnetic aura, and somebody just like demands attention, and not in a desperate way, but in a way where you can't ignore how, I hate to keep using this word, but like how magnetic they are and how captivating they are, and almost just like mesmerizing. And the goal of this is not to like make everyone like you and attract absolutely everything into your life, but it's to attract the right things, the right people, and not just people who like you, but like people who love you. Because the word magnetic and like magnetically this and that is commonly used in, I guess, the spirituality or, you know, manifesting type of space and talking about these topics, because it's commonly used in affirmations like, I'm a money magnet, or like, success is magnetically drawn to me. And what I heard that really struck me was that the reason that magnets are so powerful is because they are polarized. If a magnet wasn't polarized, meaning it didn't have like a positive and a negative end, it wouldn't be as strong of a magnet. It might be a weak magnet to lots of different things, but it wouldn't be a strong magnet to any one thing. So when we talk about ourselves, having this magnetic aura and like being unapologetically yourself isn't about making everyone like you, but it's about having like the right people really like you, having really great opportunities that really align with you. And it also reminds me of the quote, like, liked by all, loved by none. You don't want to be this person that waters down your personality to make it more palatable to other people. Like, we want to be ourselves, and by being yourself and really stepping into who you are authentically, you will attract these really strong, really amazing opportunities that align so well with you. And the flip side to that is that by being magnetic in this way, it can be polarizing like a magnet, but that isn't a bad thing. It might mean that some people don't like you, and some people don't like what you have to say or what you have to do. But I feel like there's another quote that's like, if you don't have haters, you haven't reached your full potential, because undeniably, we all like different things. We all have different interests. We all are just quite different in some ways, but in a lot of ways, we're all really similar. But you know what I mean? And honestly, something that I've had to start learning to deal with is having people dislike me when they watch my videos, or people just not liking the things I have to say. And although the vast majority of the comments I receive are really positive and great, and people that really resonate with me and an audience that I feel that I have attracted, there are also a lot of people who just don't like me or don't like what I'm doing or have something negative to say. And every single person that you can think of, like every celebrity that you look up to, every influencer or whoever it is, I 100% guarantee you that there are people out there that don't like them too. Every super successful person has a ton of haters as well, and it's always going to be like that. So don't let that stop you from being yourself and being confident in it. I feel like that's the first kind of lesson I want to just touch on before we really dive into, you know, how to have this magnetic aura, because it can kind of be scary, honestly, having people not like you. I feel like it's in our human nature to want to be liked, but you really don't need to be liked by everyone, and you don't need everybody's approval. And why would you want the approval of like somebody that you literally don't even know or don't have any reason to care about what they say? Why should that matter to you? And it is still kind of like a hard pill to swallow when somebody potentially doesn't like you. But if you get to the point where you're just so content with who you are and what you're doing, and you're happy with the decisions you're making and the things you're creating, it doesn't even matter anymore what other people have to say about you, you know? One thing that I kind of learned recently with dealing with occasionally getting hate comments and kind of having them get to me was that you should really have such strong self-worth that you don't let either good comments or bad comments get to you. So it's like you're already 100%, like your bucket is already completely full. When somebody compliments you, you don't like take that too personally, even in a good compliment. And then the same applies to when somebody makes an insult to you. You also won't take that so personally. If you start having your self-worth so reliant on what other people think about you and what other people say, and if you feel like you need compliments to feel good and feel happy, that's a problem. And that kind of is an issue there that maybe you can try to work through by honestly maybe journaling about self-worth, writing down a list of things you love about yourself and working to feel confident and happy with them. It should be more like you're already at 100%, but a compliment is just like a nice addition on top. Because in that way, when you receive a bad comment or some kind of insult or somebody is mean to you in some way, you also won't take it too personally. And that was kind of weird for me to hear at first because I was like, what do you mean? Like the good comments, like I shouldn't let those kind of like get to me. I think what it was saying was like, don't take anything too seriously, even the good compliments. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, oh my God, the good compliments are so nice. And they are so nice. And I still am so grateful for them, but I don't read them and necessarily believe everything that they say or take it so to heart that it like really is the building block of my confidence. My confidence comes from me and my abilities and my self-worth. And the fact that I'm confident in the things that I create and put out and who I am and that I like who I am. So it's kind of like how also in a relationship, it's not like you're 50 and the other person is 50 and then like together you're 100. Like, oh my God, he's my other half. It's like you're already 100 and he's 100. And together you're just like 200. You're just better together. But like you were already both completely good on your own, and being together just really just adds value to both of your lives, but you don't need each other to survive. That's kind of the place that you should be in mentally to get to this point and to let bad comments and negativity just run right off of you. Those were a few points that I think are really important to mention on this topic. And those are ways that you can kind of get to having this magnetic aura. But to really dive into this, one of the first people that kind of pop into my mind when I think about who just like has a great aura is Serena Vanderwoodson. And hold on a second, because you might be like, oh my God, I hate Serena. I honestly have always been a Blair girl. Oh, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about Gossip Girl, which is a TV show. There are the two, you know, kind of main like protagonist female characters are Serena and Blair. And I've always been a Blair gal. I love Blair, will stand by her, even though, I mean, both of them are kind of problematic at times. But Serena in the show, she is really made out to be the it girl. She has this effortless, charismatic, and captivating aura that really does demand attention. Every guy in the show is captivated by her. Even Blair knows it. And Blair kind of tries really hard, and she's amazing in so many ways, but she can never quite achieve the like effortless energy that Serena has, where she's really not even trying, but she just gets all of these opportunities and she has all these friends and she has all these boys who want to be with her. And that is sort of who I think of when I think of like who has this magnetic aura. And it doesn't mean that I like Serena, but I feel like this is kind of proving my point about polarity. There are so many different ways to be captivating and magnetic, and it doesn't mean you have to change your personality to be a certain way. Like you can have a magnetic aura and be super bubbly and fun and spontaneous, and you can also have a magnetic aura that is entrancing because it's kind of mysterious and there's something about you that's a little bit darker, but it's magnetic in a different way. And both of those are really great, so it doesn't mean that you need to be a certain way to have this great energy about you, but I felt like that was kind of a good example that might allow you to paint a picture of what I mean. So how do you get this magnetic aura? Well, I've kind of already mentioned, but really the full overarching answer is to be authentically and unapologetically yourself and be confident in it. So that sounds like a really simple and almost like a cop-out statement, but we're gonna dive into this and what this really means, because there's so many components and you might honestly not even know how to do that, because I feel like I even hear that and I'm like, okay, what does that even mean though? What is authentically me, or like what does that even mean? So I feel like a great exercise for this would be to write down, make a list of which things you feel define who you are. What are your like personality tenets? Kind of like the things that really describe you. Like maybe it's the things that you love to do, your hobbies, things that you like, things that you just feel like you wouldn't be yourself without. They are like personality traits or characteristics. Honestly, just like the way you are, adjectives about yourself, write them down so you kind of paint a picture of who you are and you can really get clear on like what you are actually like. Because sometimes when I think about, you know, being authentic, I feel like it's almost hard to know what is authentically me. You know, we're literally in this age of like influencers, literally influencers who are kind of there to influence what we want, what we want to buy, what we want to be like, what our style should be. It can almost be hard to think, what would I be like without all of these outside influences? But I still think that you do know, like to some sense, what you're like. And if you kind of sitting there and you're like, I don't even know what is authentically me anymore, think about maybe what you liked as a child, what you were like as a child before you maybe had all of that outside influence. I feel like even as a kid, I was kind of a little diva, honestly. I've always been a little bit like sassy. And I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I think that is kind of me. There's pictures of me and I'm literally wearing every accessory possible. I have like 300 little hair clips in. I have earrings on. I have eyeshadow and lip gloss and I'm like 5 years old going to kindergarten. I've always loved being a little bit extra, honestly. And I've always loved playing with style and with makeup and accessories. And that's something that I still love today. So I feel like that's something I have seen kind of be a core trait of my personality and who I am. I think there's a lot of things that I liked as a kid that I still really like. I always loved animals and being outside, and I still really love animals and feel very passionate about animal rights. And I love going outside. I literally pursued an environmental science degree. So conservation was something that was important to me, even as a kid, in ways I might not have realized. And it's still something that is very important to me now. So that might be a good way for you to figure out who you are and what you're like. I think another way would be thinking of ways that other people have described you. Be careful with this because you don't want to take like one insult somebody said that like was just completely untrue. You totally have the power to reject any statement that somebody makes that you don't agree with and you don't feel is authentic to you. So just think about that. But sometimes this can be a good way to think of like how your friends describe you, how maybe your family members describe you. Again, I'm saying this with caution. I don't know what your family or your friend situation is like. I don't know if they're toxic people, but in general, like think about how maybe people who love you or people who really know you would describe you. You can think of the good and the bad. I think of myself as somebody who's incredibly compassionate and kind. I think I'm very empathetic. This is not me, I don't even know, trying to brag about my personality, but I think it's something just, it's truly what I am. It's how I felt. I always have been able to empathize with others extremely easily, and being compassionate towards others is something that I've always felt very strongly as well. I'm giving examples for myself just to help you kind of spark some thoughts about maybe what you're like if you don't know. I don't know if that might be helpful. I also think for myself that I always have been very motivated and driven and honestly disciplined. So those are definitely characteristics that I think have always been true to me. Definitely now with honestly like making YouTube videos and kind of doing social media as a job, I'm extremely on top of it. I'm very detail oriented with it. And if I think back throughout school, I was always so good at planning. I kept straight A's. I took it very seriously. And even though I wouldn't say that I was like naturally incredibly intelligent and super smart, just like I wasn't one of those kids, like honestly, my brother, who you're like, he's really smart. Like you just kind of know, you know, you always had those kids in class. You're like, yep, they're really smart. I was always smart and intelligent, but I think I had to try harder, but I did try hard. Like I worked to get my great grades and I worked to stay on top of things and meet all my deadlines. And it was always very important to me to be on time and to be meeting all my goals. So I would describe myself as disciplined, motivated, and driven as well. Even in the more negative areas of my personality, I admittedly am kind of moody. And like I mentioned, I'm a little bit sassy, I guess. My grandma had a nickname for me growing up, which was Silly Sassy Saucy Sophie. So if that says anything, it's really cute. But yeah, I was a little sasser. And just as I mentioned, kind of moody. And I don't know if that's like a hormonal imbalance or something that comes with anxiety, because sometimes I feel like I'm just moody for no reason. But that's just me being very, I guess, attuned to what I'm like. I really do feel like I know myself quite well. And I hope that could help you kind of, I don't know, think about yourself and what you're like. Because I know it can be hard when we're all just in our own heads thinking about our own life. I mean, I don't even always know how I come across to other people. Honestly, having a YouTube channel and having people comment about me, I'm almost like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that I came across that way. Like, and like in a good way, I mean, they'll say like, oh my gosh, you're so this. And I'll get like quite a few comments saying that. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even realize that that's how other people saw me. So taking that into consideration can be kind of good when you're trying to figure out who you really truly are. And I think the other thing to think about is, like I said, what you like. Make a list of the things that you just genuinely enjoy doing, whether people think they're weird or not. I think the whole goal here is to remove everyone else from the equation, and we're just thinking about what you are like, because if we're trying to become our true authentic selves, that's kind of what we need to do. I don't want to talk about this all the time, but starting a YouTube channel was something I had always really wanted and was really scared about what other people would think. And when I finally just started and I put myself out there, honestly, I feel like that's me being unapologetically myself. And in the way I act in my videos is me and it's who I am. So I feel like that's one way that I've kind of done that and exercised that. So maybe if there's something you really like, but people think it's weird, try to come to terms with any resistance you have against any of these things about yourself and just accept who you are. And I will say, don't say like, all right, I'm accepting myself. Well, like I'm just a pathological liar. I just accept that. It doesn't have to be things like that. This isn't an excuse to be like, well, I'm super mean and that's just who I am. I just want to clarify that. But when you kind of have a list of these things about yourself and who you are and what you like, now you know who your authentic self is. And if you're having some struggle with self-acceptance, I think one of the most important things to do is be forgiving with yourself and forgive yourself for maybe past wrongs that may be weighing on you, or for maybe if you did something that really embarrassed you or something that you really regret and you're having trouble moving past. There's something that I read and it was talking about how true justice in nature is reached when there is one consequence for one action. Like that would be true justice. So when we think about things over and over and over again, and we ruminate on them and we like live through them as if they're happening again, we're punishing ourselves again and again and again. So if there's something that happened in the past and you keep bringing it up, or maybe you've changed, but you're having trouble like letting go of who your past self was, just remember that once you've done the kind of like apology or whatever was necessary to remediate that action, you have served justice to that action. And once you've truly made things right and like apologized, changed, living through it again and again and again is punishing yourself for no reason, and it's going to keep you living in that state where you don't need to be. So I literally remind myself of that anytime I think of something that I maybe did like years and years ago that I'm like embarrassed about, or I'm like, oh my god, that was so embarrassing. I'm like, no, I don't even need to be thinking about this. Nobody else probably even remembers this. Like, let's move on. That's not necessary. And then if there are things about you that you don't necessarily love and that's why you're having trouble accepting yourself, I think for me, something I don't love about myself, like I said, is that I can be kind of moody. Sometimes I feel like I'm annoyed with people and they haven't even done anything wrong. Like, honestly, often it affects the people in my household because sometimes I'm just in a bad mood for no reason and I kind of snap at them and I don't mean to and I don't mean it and they didn't deserve that, but I'm just in a bad mood. Like, that's something I don't necessarily love about myself and that I am trying to work on not being so like snippy like that. But if there are things about yourself that you don't love, you can always work on changing them. And it doesn't mean that you have to wait to love yourself until everything about you is perfect, because that's never going to happen. You know, just accept yourself as you are. We all have strengths and weaknesses. You can love your strengths and empower them. And then you can accept your weaknesses and try to learn from them. I think I used to think that like loving myself meant thinking that I was perfect and like thinking every feature on me was perfect. And I used to think like in middle school, I was like, yeah, there's no way I'm ever gonna love myself. Like, I hate my nose. Like, I hate this and this. Like, no, that's not what it's about. That's really not what it's about. And I feel like I truly do love myself because I'm proud of the things that I do and I'm happy with who I am. And even if you're in a bad place right now and you're like, I'm not doing great in life right now, you know, things aren't going super well, doesn't even matter. You can still like love yourself and love who you are in that moment and know that the hard times will pass and things will change. So if you're having trouble with like self-love and acceptance, maybe those can be some good reminders for you, but that this might be a whole episode in and of itself. I think that with self-acceptance naturally comes more confidence. I think that being confident is something that is so charismatic and kind of like captivating. When somebody is confident, even when you're like, you don't really expect them to be, like maybe you're at a party or like a wedding and somebody that you would kind of least expect it, like maybe you're at prom and one of the really quiet kids like gets out on the dance floor and just starts ripping up the dance floor and they're just going hard. And everyone's like, oh my God, they can dance. Like, they are so good. That is like a great aura right there. If somebody's confident in it and they just do what they're good at doing and they, like I said, they're confident in it, everyone else will just be like, okay, they know what they're doing. It's kind of like how in movies, you'll see someone like trying to get into somewhere they're not like supposed to be, or they're like trying to get a hotel room, but they don't actually have a hotel room booked. And they just like act like they do have a hotel room and they're super confident about it, that nobody even questions that they don't have one and they like let them go. Honestly, those TikToks where people pretend to like work at the movie theater to get into the movie for free, they're so like confident in the way that they do it that no one questions them. It's not exactly the same thing, but honestly, to an extent, being confident makes you so much more appealing to others. And honestly, it's just such an attractive quality. And there's definitely a fine line between cockiness and confidence. So make sure that you do not cross that line. You're not out here being desperate and begging for attention, but you're just being confident in what you're doing and humble. The next thing I want to talk about is other people, because in order to be magnetic and have this amazing energy and be so mesmerizing, you have to be a good person to be around. And to do that, you need to be a good listener. This is so, so, so important. I can't even stress it enough. When someone else is talking, if you find that you are, honestly, you're not just fully there, you're not fully listening to them, maybe you don't really care about what they have to say, so you're just like looking around, you're like dazing off, you are doing everything wrong. No matter who it is, no matter like what conversation this is, if this is just a random talk with someone on the street, you can take all of these things as opportunities to practice doing this. Practice being an active listener. That means looking at somebody when they're talking, making eye contact, like nodding as they're talking to like let them know that you're listening and that you know what they mean. It's also being genuinely interested in what they have to say. I mean, when you're talking to somebody, it's an opportunity to learn new things, to share information, to grow closer with them. And I feel like oftentimes when you actually insert yourself into the conversation and be present in it, you will find that it's nice to talk to them and it's interesting. And even if it's like, I don't know, someone that you weren't initially super enthused to be talking to, it truly is respectful and quality you should have in all settings of your life. The other thing is, don't interrupt people when they're talking. That's a huge one. And then as you're listening to them talk, don't just think about like the next thing that you're going to be saying. And like the whole time they're talking, you're not actually listening because you're just planning out what you're going to say next. Or like, oh, it made you think of a story about you, so you kind of deflect the conversation back to you. It's totally great to relate to other people, but I think when you're talking to somebody and you just keep interjecting with personal stories that related to what they had to say, it's not always the best thing. Like if somebody's talking about something and maybe they had a hard day at work, they're like, oh my gosh, my boss is just so terrible. And you're like, oh my God, my boss is terrible too. Last week they did this and this and this. You just took that conversation to yourself. It's a fact that people like to talk about themselves. It's even like a known tip for job interviews to ask the interviewer at the end a question that kind of relates to themselves, because people get happy when they talk about themselves. So if you're bringing the conversation back to you over and over and over, that person probably doesn't want to talk to you. They're probably not going to really want to re-engage conversation, and they probably don't feel that you're a great friend or a great listener. So if you have a personal story that you maybe want to bring up, but your friend or whoever you're talking to is in the middle of their story and it's kind of like a moment for them at that time, especially if it's something distressing that's happened to them recently or they're kind of in need of emotional support, it's not the time for you to go dumping on them with everything that's been on your mind. So I think having social awareness in that way makes you such a better friend. And then in other social instances where maybe you don't know everyone there, maybe it's kind of like a mingling event, ask people questions. And like I said, people usually like to talk about themselves or talk about things that have been happening in their life. Maybe if you heard they went on a trip recently, you can ask them how it went. And then the other thing, this is something that I've really started to be conscious of, but if somebody compliments you, don't deflect the compliment. This is something I'm really going to talk about in an episode about embodying your feminine energy and being in your divine feminine, because this is so, so important. But let's say somebody compliments you. If we're thinking about what somebody would do, what a magnetic and charismatic person would do when somebody compliments them, it probably wouldn't be to be like, oh my God, no, I look so bad. Oh my God, don't even say that. I just rolled out of bed. Like, please. That is spastic and it's not good energy. It's not a good vibe. Instead, if somebody compliments you, like let's say they're like, oh my God, I love your hair. You graciously accept the compliment. Like you can say, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Oh my God, I was trying out a new hairstyle today. You can give them a compliment back. You can be like, oh my God, I love your hair too. Have you had it cut recently? Or you can just graciously accept. You can just say, thank you, I really appreciate that. Instead of deflecting the compliment, you are accepting it because you're allowed to have nice compliments. And I feel like that comes with feeling more confident in yourself and who you are. You can accept compliments, and accepting compliments is not cocky, especially when you do it in a gracious and humble way. That is something that I find to be very magnetically attractive. Another thing that I feel is present in people who have great magnetic auras is respecting people's boundaries. So this can be like if you're at a party, and honestly, I feel like I'm constantly in this situation because I just don't drink. I don't like drinking. I don't enjoy it. I don't even feel the need to explain why I don't want to drink. I just don't want to, and I've never wanted to. But every time I'm in a social setting, it's like people are way more upset than I am that I don't want to drink, and they're just baffled by why would I not want to drink? Oh my gosh, this is so crazy. This is so weird. And they're constantly just asking me why I don't want to drink and kind of trying to convince me to drink or coerce me into it. And I find that so unattractive and just kind of gross behavior. I don't think that we need to question people's boundaries. And when somebody presents their boundaries to you, it's not an opportunity for you to see how far you can test them before they'll give in. For yourself, when you have boundaries, we want people to respect them. And then for other people, we want to respect their boundaries too. So if you ask someone something and they say no, and you kind of keep pushing for it, don't do that. That's not giving you a good vibe. That is desperate energy again, and it's just disrespectful. And you can even be the person in a social situation who kind of hears, maybe you're at like a party or a get together and someone's trying to do that to someone else or trying to make them do something they don't want to do. And you're like, no, you can redirect the conversation. You can go like pull them out of there. And honestly, being that type of person gives you a great aura. I also want to reiterate that the needy, desperate energy is something we are just trying to avoid at all costs in all ways. And having this needy, desperate energy actually like repels opportunities. It repels people. It pushes things away. That's why the law of detachment, which again, I think that's something I'll make a whole episode about, is really important in like the world of manifestation. Because when you want to manifest something, you have to put the intention out there and then detach from it. You don't need it to survive. You don't need it to carry on your life. And being needy and desperate in any way is going to push things away and kind of do the opposite of what you want it to do. You just want to be gracious, grateful, kind-hearted, good people to be around, and not somebody who's desperate for attention, because the person with the best aura and the most magnetism isn't somebody who's out there begging for it. It's somebody who just is confident in who they are. Like I said, they're unapologetically themselves. They're sweet. They're understanding. They are a good listener, and they're a nice person. They are not desperate. Like when I think about desperate energy, I think about honestly a situation that I've encountered quite a few times, and it's when a guy throughout my whole, like I would say even middle school, high school, there would be a guy who I should like, I guess. They seem good on paper. They seem to be really nice, but it's almost like they're like toxic nice. It's kind of like they're like, I'm such a good guy. How could you not give me a chance? I'm so nice and sweet. Like, and something about it was really off-putting, and I almost felt like I should like them, but I just never did. And now I'm realizing it's because they had honestly like pick me energy, and it was really off-putting. I didn't even want to know anything more about them because it was guys saying things like, oh, every girl does me so dirty. I'm the nicest guy. Why don't they give me a chance? Like, I'm so nice. I would do you so well. Like, I would be so good to you. And I was just like, this is not attractive. It's really not. It's literally being a pick me. Pick me boy. And I feel like that's a good example of desperate energy, because even if the guy, like without having all of that desperateness that I could totally sense, if they were like a great guy with cool, interesting hobbies and they were really, you know, nice and charismatic, I didn't even care. I didn't even see any of that because it was all covered up by this weird like desperateness that they had. Maybe they just wanted a girlfriend so bad, honestly, that they were like doing everything they could, and it was just really off-putting to me. But honestly, somebody being like who they are and me just seeing their personality and them not trying to like force me to like them was always way more attractive, and that would always make me actually like someone. Like with my current boyfriend, he was never like that at all. I mean, I feel like that's clear, the fact that we're dating now, but like we kind of bonded over our music taste and our common interests, and it was like a friendship that turned into a relationship. It wasn't something that sparked off of like him being like, oh my god, please date me. You know, that's so gross. But that's just like a side point about why desperate energy is not attractive and not something that you want to have. Something else that I heard recently that I feel is something I need to kind of take to heart because it's something I need to start doing is when you are someone that has this great magnetic aura, you're confident in yourself. Part of that is actually making your own decisions and not asking others for approval before you make a decision. It's about like trusting yourself and trusting your decisions. And this is something that's really hard for me because I feel like I fear making a wrong decision. I mean, even when it comes to like an outfit I want to wear or like a piece of furniture I want to buy or a pair of shoes I want to buy, I will text like 5 people and be like, do you like these? Like, should I get this before I buy it? And I'm like, you know what? I don't need to do that. I don't need to ask a bunch of people's approval before I buy something. I can make my own decision. And it's kind of a side point, but it's something I wanted to bring up because that was something I really hadn't heard before and hadn't really thought about. And I guess I feel like part of growing up, honestly, is that like I need to make my own decisions and I can't rely on other people as much. And I'm kind of growing independence as I get older. So that's something I started to try doing. Like I just buy things I like. Like actually today I made an online order and I didn't text anyone and ask them if they liked the things I picked before I buy them. Cause sometimes I'm like, oh my God, are these all cute? What if I'm the only person that thinks this is cute and like no one else will think that? It doesn't matter if anyone else thinks it, if I like it, you know? The last thing that I want to talk about, because I feel like I've been talking for quite a while, is protecting your energy. This is another thing, which I've said this a billion times during this episode, but this is something that I'm going to make a full episode about because I think it's its whole own topic, but protect your energy and cleanse your aura. What I mean by this is your energy can be affected by other people. Literally last night, I was in such a good like mood. I literally had such a nice night. I took a self-care bath with all of the things like bath salts. I had like bentonite clay in the bath to like cleanse. I had my little crystals. I had candles lit. I did a meditation. I was feeling so good. And then my mom and my brother started kind of like fighting a little bit. And I was like, oh my God, I felt like for a second, I was like, this just killed my whole mood. I could hear them kind of like bickering outside of my room when I was like about to go to sleep. And for a second, I was like, this just ruined my mood. Like them being in this like kind of bad, whatever, you know, state, and they obviously do not have a good energy about them right now, is like affecting me. And then for a second, I was like, no, close my door, cleanse my energy. I decide how I feel and can't decide what happens, but I can decide how I react to it. I mean, that's such a small example, but literally in that moment, I was like, no, I'm having such a nice night. Yes, they're yelling. Yes, listening to it is giving me anxiety. I don't need to be affected by it. And I think that can be kind of something, especially if you're living in a household with other people. Like if you're still, you know, if you're living with your parents and your family, especially as you're younger, like it can be siblings having fights, your parents having fights, parents and kids having fights. Like there can be a lot going on in a household. And sometimes you want to protect your energy. And honestly, for me, this might be like going and putting headphones on, listening to some frequency music and getting myself back to a good place. Or this could be meditating. Water is something that's like known to cleanse. Even in so many different cultures, water was used as like a way of cleansing energy. So like go take a bath, take a shower, go in the ocean, go to the beach. This is an active process. Like this is something you will, you know, kind of have to actively work at. It's going to be a daily thing. But like for me, because something I've really prioritized since I've discovered, you know, I guess since I really dove into spiritual practices, was just wanting to be as peaceful and like happy and content and enlightened as I can be. And for me, that means that I'm doing things every day to keep my energy good and to keep myself in a good mood. For me, that's practicing gratitude, doing yoga, doing meditations. I know you probably hear about these things all the time and you maybe wonder like, okay, there's like, could these really be that helpful? Honestly, they are, because you will find after you do like even a Pilates video where it's like mindful and you're using your breath to work with your body, you just feel so much better and you feel calm and your whole internal mood has been cleansed. You're kind of brought back to your equilibrium and you're able to be in a positive and, you know, a better mood. So do things that get you in a good mood as often as you can. That's what's really important about this. And that will help you maintain your good energy, your good aura, and your good mental state overall. I think that is where I'm going to wrap up today's episode, but I really hope you enjoyed this. I feel like I had a lot of fun talking about it. And hopefully some of these things were good reminders for you. Hopefully you learned something new. subscribe to the podcast YouTube channel if you would like to. And I would love if you could give this podcast a rating on whichever platform you're watching it on and let me know what you thought. I would love to hear from you and love to hear what you're thinking about it. Also, feel free to leave me recommendations for topics that you would love for me to talk about in this podcast. I have so many already, but if there's anything specific that you want me to make sure I talk about, please let me know because I would love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening. I'm sending you so much good energy right now, and I encourage you to continue your day after listening to this in a state of peace and try to maintain that peace today. Kind of use it as a challenge. Try to let things roll off your back and not stick to you. I hope you have an amazing day, and I will see you next time. Bye, guys.